Truly is an honor and definite blessing to be able to come and speak to you today, to be invited. I look at this not only as a way to come preach the gospel, but also a chance for a homecoming, to be able to see some folks that I haven't seen in a long time, some friends and some family members and such as that, and I am deeply appreciative of this opportunity. Folks, today, as you had heard him mention, we are going to be talking about family government. Now, we're going to have to move quickly because of the time that we have. There's so much information that I've got to get forth to you. Grab a deep seat, hang on, because we're going to move. The good thing about it is you have an outline. Follow through. Make sure that what I'm telling you is the truth. If it's not the truth, you need to come to me. We need to work it out. Make sure that everything's working on the level. Your soul's at stake, and so is mine. We need to make sure everything is working properly and soundly, I would add, there. We're going to talk about family government, that which was planned and instituted by Jehovah God. And I have to say that as I look around this world, I find it very disappointing when you look at families. You see the state of things in our country today concerning this very important area. And we need to be concerned about our families. We need to be concerned about the families in the church. What I want to share with you today might be a little strong in some areas, but I want you to know it's because we need to hear some things to motivate us and to provoke us to change, because not a single one of us in here is perfect, see? We can all improve and we can all do better. That's our common lot in life. We know we have to struggle. We know we have to continue to do a whole lot better. I'm going to be talking to fathers today, and I'm going to be talking to mothers today, and I'm going to be talking to some young people today as well. It's going to be all three categories, because I think there are some ways that we can have better families, and we must have better families in the Lord's church. Now, there's not a whole lot that we can do about what's happening in our country. I mean, I'm very concerned that we have a generation of young people in our or in their teen years that are so violent and they're so angry and they're reaping just great violence and destruction and harm, and they're striking out. And they're killing. They're taking drugs. They're out drinking. They're out with the wrong kind of people, doing everything that they can think of in retaliation to let go of this anger that they have deep inside of them that they feel. Now, there's not a whole lot that I can do about it or that you can do about it except preach that gospel and hope that it might reach their hearts. But it's hard to get them to hear it, though, isn't it, sometimes? And I think many times, I believe there is no encouragement from mamas and daddies in our homes, in our country, to do so, see? There's a lack of interest, you might say. A lack of desire to study God's Word, and that's very typical in America today. And what's sad to me is that there are children in these homes that have never been encouraged. They've never been led by their parents to Bible study or to worship. As I said, there's not a whole lot that we can do outside of the church except preach the gospel, but there is something that we can do, and mamas and daddies, there's something that you can do in the church. To start with, I want to talk to fathers for just a few minutes, you dads out there. Not a few fathers are heard to say that they have no time for their children. They insist as long as they pay the bills, they are doing their duty. Thus, they place all the parental duty on the mother alone, and that's about as wrong can get. That is very biblically wrong. In Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 8, Solomon said, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father," and he didn't stop there. See, he continues on. We got to read the whole verse. This is a twofold deal. "Hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." These parents are exhorted to both being involved in the bringing up of these children in the home. It's that simple. The father and the mother are to be involved. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 implies the very same thing. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Well, that just implies there is something to obey. And that implies that both parents are involved in the teaching. It's not just the mama's job. It's not just the daddy's job. It's both of them together. And I don't want to hear fathers say that they don't have any time for their children in this area. Because if you ask me, and probably anybody who's read the Bible, that's the coward's way out. You're not going to find any other way out but the coward's way if you take that way. One responsibility of the dad is to give his home time and to give his home care. See, he is not to desert it. See, it is not biblical to do so and to go out and hide behind a job that may make him work 60 to 80 hours a week. See, the father is not to desert his home. This may be a newsflash, but children need their dads. Sunday school and camps will not fill the void. Most of you know that I have two children. I have Savannah, who's 5 years old, and I have Tyler, who's 3 years old, and I have only one opportunity to do with them what needs to be done and have that influence in those very important years in their life. And I don't want to spend a lifetime of regret because I didn't spend time with my children during those very crucial years. You've got to spend time with your children. It's important and it is necessary. If a father is going to be giving his home the time that it needs and the care that it needs, he must spend more time with his children. It doesn't matter how many hours you work. It doesn't matter if you lose time. You don't want to lose your children. Number two, a father needs to nurture his children. Of course, that is very clearly taught, isn't it? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, where it says, fathers, did you hear that? Fathers, who are to take the lead anyway, by the way, in the home as well as in the church. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up, nurture them, train them, discipline them, teach them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, the law of Moses, we can learn a lot from. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, here is a verse that you better read and read and read and read concerning mamas and daddies. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Moms and dads back then were charged by Moses in this very important area of child upbringing. Beginning in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 6 and move on down. Most of you have heard this before, I know. It's always a good reminder if you already heard it. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6 says, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou, that's plural, by the way, mothers and dads are who he's talking to in this audience. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in your house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I get the idea that these children were to be immersed in the Word of God. These children were to be engulfed in the Word of God. And their parents are the ones to do it. Not just the mama, not just the daddy. Both of them. And I say this with all the concern and all the love in my heart. This duty cannot successfully be shifted to mothers alone. We need to remember that. Or the Bible class teachers for that matter. Or the university Bible chairs. Or the Christian colleges, which we tend to do a lot of times. People say, well, you know, well, I just send them to church and they'll be taught. Or I'll send them to Christian college and they'll be taught. Or I'll send them somewhere else. But I really don't want to be involved in doing it. That's what it kind of boils down to. We don't actually say that, but that's kind of where it goes. Dads, you need to nurture your children. Look at number three. You need to shoulder, talking to dad still, you need to shoulder the burden of authority. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, you'll find that it talks about that chain of authority. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 22 through 24 talks about that chain of authority. The fathers are in that position. And did you realize that the fall might not have ever happened in Genesis chapter 2 and 3 if Adam would have taken responsibility and authority when he needed to? Because when Satan tempted Eve, Adam was right by her side, did nothing to interact, and did not take the leadership position in that situation. Therefore, man failed. That was the end of it. And great consequences have been reaped ever since. Dads, you need to shoulder the burden of authority that God has given you. in your position in the home. There's also a position of authority in the church, but we're talking about the home, of course, right now. We must, as fathers, resist. You have, and I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I say this with the kindest words I can. There's such a feminist attitude of equality. When you get down there and you talk about man and woman, they are absolutely equal when they come to the foot of the cross. Man is not greater than woman. But understand this. We need to remember that there is no substitute. Underline that. No substitute for God's arrangement. And He has laid down that arrangement. And if you don't understand that arrangement, then you need to read Genesis chapter 2 very thoroughly. You need to read Matthew chapter 19 very thoroughly, where Jesus talked about that arrangement. And He reemphasizes what Moses said in Genesis chapter 2. The next point, fathers have got to set the right example. Did you know, and I see this watching my son, did you know that a son will probably be like his dad for all intent and purposes? You realize that? See, it's very important, dads, to set the right example, because your son is looking at you as you raise them up, and they're going to emulate you. And if they see weak unfaithfulness in your devotion to God, then it's going to be very likely that they're going to be that way. See? They need to see the strong Bible father that's leading the way in the family, that's taking the family to church or worship on regular occasions and being involved in the work of the church. We need to set the right example. So desperately, it's so important for a child to be proud of his father and not ashamed of him. Because he will probably walk in his dad's footsteps, and I tell you, that's an awesome responsibility right then and there as you bring them up, because you want your children to be faithful. Next is one that's probably not liked very well in some circles, but dads, we need to administer discipline. See, that's almost been thrown out because of Dr. Spock and other such nonsense. Discipline is a forgotten thing. And now at school, as a teacher, boy, they got to be so hesitant. You spank a child, you correct a child, you're going to open yourself up a big old can of worms, including lawsuits and all kinds of problems. But there isn't a topic more taught in the Bible than administering discipline. Now, we don't have time today to go through and read all the verses, verse by verse, but have you read the book of Proverbs lately? Have you read Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24? Write it down. Have you read Proverbs 19, 18? Write it down. Have you read Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15? Write it down. Have you read Proverbs 23, 13 through 14? I encourage you to write it down. I want you to consider for a moment. What was the great sin of a man named Eli? You remember Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 13? What was that great sin? Do you know the story of Eli and his sons? Rebellious sons. See, wicked sons. Evil sons. And the Bible is very graphic as to why they came out that way. And it says, because Eli restrained them not. He let them do what they wanted to do, and when you let a child do what they want to do, they don't have the wisdom, they don't have the maturity to handle it right, and I guarantee you it's going to lead them right down the path to ruin. These sons were wicked, and they were killed by God. But see, Eli, sadly, had to bear the responsibility for his part of them coming out that way, because he restrained them not where he should have restrained them. And the same thing goes for Cain and his offspring, as you read through that. Now, hand in hand with this point, I want to bring this in. Dads, we need to teach our children respect for authority. Children reflect toward God and government and school officials the kind of respect for authority they learned or didn't learn at home. And if you don't show respect for authority, for civil authorities at home, your kids are going to see that. See, it's not going to be overlooked. And if you don't have a sense of respect for authority for elders in the church, and those kids hear that, they're going to grow up that way too. Parents have to shoulder the load. They're not teaching their kids respect for authority, whether it be civil authorities or whether it be school authorities, whether it be church authorities. That's life. We all understand respect for authority. We all understand, and this happens sometimes. Sometimes you ever get pulled over by a police officer, sometimes you can be really nice and he might give you a warning. You sit there and rant and rave and cause trouble, the deal is done. You're getting a ticket, usually. That's just the way it goes. We understand respect for authority. We understand where respect gets us in this life. We need to learn that respect. Parents, fathers, back to dads again. You've got to provide well for your family. And of course, y'all are sitting there going, well, you told us we couldn't work very long. We had to be home with the kids. Well, there's priorities. We got to make sure that we have everything in order. Make sure we got time for the kids. We got time for the wife. We got time for our work. I don't have a whole lot to say about providing for your family, but 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 exhorts us to be responsible in taking care of the financial needs of our family. And also, this is real important. I need to jump to this, and I think this is left out most of the time. We need to show our children, these children need to see that fathers love their mothers. See, children desperately need to feel this. The love between a father and a mother. They need to feel it. They need to see it. It is a very vital sense of security when the kids can see that. Did you know that so many of our kids are so deprived of that in our society today? See, it's no wonder the way they are. We look on and we go, man, how can these people act like that? I mean, if one in two marriages are ending up in divorce and there are one-parent families, they don't have the security of a father that shows the love for the mother. And if they can see that, it gives them security, it makes them feel good. And any young people in this audience, you know what I'm talking about if you come from that kind of stable family. You understand that love. That security is a tremendous thing to have when you're growing up as a young child. And dads, not only that, we need to show our love for our children too. I think men sometimes work too hard to control and not show their emotions and let their kids know that they love them. You know, it's not wrong to say, hey, I love you. One of the greatest things that I enjoy is an unsolicited hug from one of my children. You know what I'm talking about. You know, there's a lot of times you get a hug because you bought them something. You get a hug for something that you did for them. But, you know, there's a special kind of hug that you get because they love you. It's something that's special. They just want to do it. And that's a feeling that for parents to have is a wonderful feeling to get those kinds of things. But we need to show our children that we love them and let them see that by our relationship with them. Finally, dads need to make the home the center of family activity, of work, of worship, of play. It shouldn't just be a hotel. It's not just a boarding house. You come in, you got room and board, and you're on your way. That's what a lot of our homes have become, haven't they? I saw a commercial. I believe it was The More You Know. Kind of giving you a little bit of advice, and then it has a little More You Know type thing up there. It said it's a good idea to have at least one meal a day together with your family. Well, duh, I've been doing that ever since I was a little kid. I said, don't people do this? We had breakfast, sometimes didn't have lunch because we were at school, but we had breakfast and we had supper with our family and we talked. TV wasn't on, we talked. And I started realizing this is where things are going now. We don't have time because we're always on the move. The house is just a boarding house. It's just a hotel. People come in, they stay the night, then they're gone. Just almost like just a hotel there. There needs to be more than that in our homes. Now, I might ask you, why exactly are fathers failing? And I'm going to boil it down to three reasons. Indifference could be one of them. Being too busy, which I'll tell you now is not an excuse nobody ever used in any line of the Lord's work. Can't never be too busy for the Lord. Or number three, just flat unwilling to pay the price, which I think is the case of a lot of dads sometimes. I hope that's not to be said of any dads in the audience here today, but, you know, I think of the words of David that he spoke to his son Solomon when David was nearing the end of his life. In 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "Be thou strong, therefore, show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies." He's serious about this. "As it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself." Man, what a great example. See? Dad was on it when he said this. He was making sure his son knew exactly his lot and his role and his path in life. Let me move on to moms now. The dads all went, "Whew, good." Moms, your turn now. I think that the greatest honor that has been conferred upon women, which is her supreme mission in this life, is to be a mother in the home. Now, don't get mad at me yet, because I'm going to go a little bit farther. We're going to make sure everybody's happy on this. There is nothing that a mother can ever accomplish in any other sphere that can compare to this biblically. Hence, the woman who brings children in the world, listen to me now, the mother who brings children into the world has produced a better product than any factory or any plant or any profession. Outside of Houston, there's a 77-foot-tall standing statue of Sam Houston, outside of Huntsville, actually, up there. It's the work of a master's hand. Y'all have seen it. I'm sure you've driven by it several times. Yet, I got a question. Can that artist who chiseled Sam's features out of 30 tons of concrete and steel compare with that mother who brought forth that same man which the artist copied? I don't think so. More than anyone else, she is responsible for the life of the individual she has brought into the world. Simply having children, and I know you'll agree with me, simply having children does not make a mother. And we sure know that today in our society. On moms, more than any other force, hangs the moral future of the world. One person said, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." We've all heard that. Napoleon even mentioned that future destiny of the child is always the work of the mother. You know, I find that as you go through and you look at moms, some Christian mothers tend to fail in a few things also, just as the dads do. And I want to look at a few of those. A Christian mother, according to the Bible, needs to be a home manager. Now, I told you I'd get to this part, and I told you I'm going to qualify it. A woman, a wife, mother, needs to be a home manager. Now, that does not prevent her from working outside the home, but she should be a home manager. In Titus chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, now, moms, I want you to understand this. Make sure you write it down if you don't have it. You're probably pretty familiar with it. You've probably been through it. But in Titus chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, talking about the older women teaching the younger women, that they may train the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Very strong exhortation about being a home manager, wouldn't you say? And of course, we're all very familiar with the wonderful story of the worthy woman in Proverbs chapter 31. We don't have time to read Proverbs chapter 31, but you might write it down. You might read Proverbs 31. Look at verses 27 through 28 about that worthy woman and who can find one. And it's just a beautiful one is described there in the book of Proverbs 31. Number two, some mothers are not submitting to the need to teach their children the Word of God. See, this kind of goes back to what we talked about with the dads a little bit earlier. And I'm going to talk more about that in just a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 15. She is certainly involved in that process with dad. And she needs to teach her children, I would add this, she needs to teach her children to marry properly. She needs to teach her children to marry properly and scripturally. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Now again, the dad has got to be involved, okay? It's just not just the mom. Both parents are involved in directing their children to find a faithful, committed Christian mate that will help them get to heaven. Okay? That's part of the deal. But let me lay this on you real quick. Some great moms of the Bible and why they were great and why mothers today should be the same. We speak of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11. We need more moms who long for children instead of killing them and destroying them. We need more moms who long for children, more moms who dedicate their children to God as Hannah did. We need more moms like Jochebed. In Exodus chapter 2, a mother with courage and forethought and ingenuity. A mother who could teach her son a proper scale of values. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 25, these things stick in kids if you teach them young. Because see, I think about Moses. Moses was taught by Jochebed, and he said that he would rather share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now that was put into his heart as at a young age, and it shows in his later life. We need more mothers desperately, like Lois and Eunice. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, moms and grandmas that have passed on to their children an unfeigned faith and made of a son a faithful servant of the master. Now, I'm going to tell you, we need more dads and granddads doing the very same thing. But Lois and Eunice are mentioned here, and we need more moms involved in that. We need moms like Mary, the mother of Jesus, who stuck by her son even though he was forsaken by everybody else. John 19, 25 through 27. And that's what we need to see more of today in the Lord's church, among our moms and dads. Mothers and fathers, we have some tremendous examples in the Bible to follow, and we need to follow them. Finally today, I want to talk about the children and the responsibilities that many of them have not upheld in the home. Obviously, children are a very vital part of a Christian home. See, there's no other agency that can take the place of the home when it comes to rearing children. And you know what? We've got the greatest example that we could ever have, that we can always follow in everything, who was the ultimate example in being a role model for children everywhere. That's Jesus Christ, isn't it? Absolutely it is. Jesus was a perfect example. Once there was a child, he lived perfectly in a home. And though he was the Son of God, Jesus humbled himself and he lived on earth for approximately 30 years. And do you know what? The Bible says he obeyed his parents according to Luke chapter 2, verse 51, 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom. He increased in stature and he increased in favor with God and with man. He gave honor and dignity to childhood by that example. And he gave a deeper, deeper meaning to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, which is one of the Ten Commandments. It said, honor thy father and thy mother. He gave a great deeper meaning to that. Jesus has given young people an example to follow. He was greater than them. He's the Son of God, and yet he submitted himself to them as a child. And there's four things that I want to bring out to young people. Duties that they have to their parents. And I really hope that everybody takes these things seriously, I want you to consider these and meditate upon these very deeply. One of the duties that young people have, appropriately enough, and everybody knows it, is to obey your parents. You go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, you find that this, of course, brings it out. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, it's always been right. It was right in the beginning of time. It was right in the law of Moses, and it's still right, and it has not changed one whit, and it will not change at all. Young people, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. One of the grievous sins that Paul spoke to Timothy about in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 were children who were disobedient to parents. See, it's listed there in all the sins right there. And I'd like you to look with me, if you would, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Here, Paul, again, in a different way, but also in a similar way, makes the very same exhortation. Understand, now, it does go a little bit further. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 20, he starts out with children. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. Now, certainly, if your parents, understand this, if your parents should forbid you to do what God says to do, then that's an exception. Now, isn't it? We must obey God rather than men. But children, did you hear what Paul told that congregation? Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And you know, when children obey their parents, they're really obeying God, because that's God's will for them and their relationship with their parents. And I know parents make decisions that they don't always agree with. Excuse me. We got kids, just got to get ready for that. We all know it. We've all been there. It's going to happen. They're going to make decisions. The kids are not going to like it. And it's a hard thing to swallow, but they got to submit to it. That's just the way it is. And there shouldn't be any whining, shouldn't be any after whining as a result of that. Sometimes parents just got to get around the table. They got to deal with things. They got to talk to them. Here's what we're concerned about. Here's what you're doing. And here's the consequences if you persist in these things. Kids have got to understand that, and understand that consequences are tremendous. Children are to obey their parents. Doesn't stop when you get to the college years, see. There's a responsibility to your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother does not stop at age 18. You continue to honor them the rest of your life. As I grew older, I realized that all the arguments that I had with mom and dad were absolutely ridiculous. Back then, they weren't that ridiculous. Back then, I didn't think my parents were that smart. As I get older, I realize they're getting smarter and smarter as I make my way into my older years. And it's amazing to me that they actually were this smart when I was young. And I find out a lot of things that it was just ridiculous. And I've got to the point where I learn a deeper love for my parents, and an appreciation for them that some young people just may not understand at this time. Because, see, these parents are looking out. They're hopefully looking out for your well-being. And they're going to make some decisions that you may not like. But that's what's going to happen. Number two, another duty to their parents where children are failing is to honor them. Think about some ways to honor parents. How about the way you talk about them? How about the way you talk to them? How you address them? We need to show honor to them by the gratitude that we have for what they've done for us as well. Children need to definitely honor their family, or honor their mom and dad. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, of course, brings that out. Honor. Respect. Show respect. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. If you do, it will be well with you. Number three, and I'm not going to go too far on this because I know time is getting short, but I think kids need to learn to be servants. You need to learn to be willing servants in the home. That way, when you get older, you can already know how to be a servant when you get older. Jesus was at his Father's business, and that includes doing mundane things as well as doing things that are very important. Young people need to be helpful. We need to be responsible in that way. We need to show our parents our obedience to them. We need to show our honor to them by being willing to serve in the home. Number four, and I take this one very seriously, and again, it's something that I think when young people grow older, they're going to understand, they're going to appreciate it even more. You've got to be willing to take care and help your parents when they can't take care of themselves. I think that's a biblical charge. When you look at 1 Timothy 5:4, if any widow hath children or grandchildren, let them first show piety towards their own family to requite their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. And if you look down in verse 8 right there, if any doesn't provide for his own, and especially his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You really ought to grow and appreciate mom and dad and be thankful for what they've given to you, what they've done for you. Got to be concerned about their welfare and be able to help them. Finally, several years ago, I got some material in the mail, and it said, the church in any given community will never be stronger than the strength of the average home in the church. And I think that is so true. Where there is failure in the home, there is going to be failure in the church. Where there is success in the home where God's word is taught and lived diligently, there's going to be growth and there's going to be edification in the church. Parents, we've got to have our priorities in place and be ever vigilant with the time that we have left. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:16. Too many families today struggle because children are only receiving occasional instruction instead of full-time continual instruction that Moses talked about. The old saying applies here more than anywhere else. Children don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We've got to remember that. When quality time is spent in the home with one another, the church will be greatly blessed. Families will work together in the vineyard of the Lord. Sons and daughters will want to be Christians like their parents. They will even be more active in the Lord's church as they emulate or imitate their parents. Young men will be more inclined to be involved in worship service, to lead singing, to offer prayers, serve at the table, and perhaps even preach the gospel. All because they were encouraged in the home. And when the home is strong, folks, the church will be strong. I can't tie this up in a nice little bow without saying that the church itself also has a tremendous responsibility to help those families along the way. Each one of us has the opportunity and the responsibility to help our fellow brother and sister, help their family in any possible way that we can. I think that's one of the hardest things that we've come across, and being able to separate ourselves from everybody else. And we don't need to do that. We've got to be there. We've got to be able to help those people and be able to help them. But understand, I'm not just laying it all on the church. You can't expect the church to do it all. You got to be involved. You got to train. Put these principles in their life. Equip them. Get them ready for what they're going to face. And when they go off to school, I like the odds better when a child is trained that way than what I've seen mostly in our young people in the church today. I've seen the same trend, and we've got to do better. Dads, we got to do better. Moms, kids, we got to be more responsive to our God-given responsibilities. We have them. Our homes will be a lot better once we do that. Fathers, mothers, children, I hope. I know we're running short of time, but I hope. I beg, I plead. My prayer is that I have at least touched maybe a chord in your heart today. That you be honest with yourself. Be very honest with yourself as a mom, as a dad, as a child. That if I haven't fulfilled my God-given responsibilities I need to, I need to repent of that. I need to ask the Lord's forgiveness and do much, much better in the future. God wants you to be a godly father. God wants you to be a godly mother and a godly child. And in turn, you'll be a tremendous blessing. And you'll be a tremendous blessing in the church, and you'll be a tremendous blessing to the community around you. When so many have fallen by the wayside, they don't have that. Someone that does, man, there's stability right there. And that kind of soundness and firmness in the home will make an impression on those around you, on other people's lives, and they're going to want to have a part of that. They're going to want it. Kids in schools are begging for it, folks. They want stability, and they're probably never going to get it, sadly. And it is such a privilege and a blessing that you have it. And I think that's a wonderful thing. But you know, if you followed along with me today, I know there was a lot of stuff there and running out of time, but if you followed along with me today, that everything that I've told you was spiritually and biblically true on the spiritual side, I pray that you think on these things and help others to do the same. God bless you.